Was the ancient account of the Tower of Babel merely a prophecy in history? I shouldn't say merely, because if that's the case, it's actually a pretty big deal. But is it more than just history? Is it actually a prophecy set in history? Is it an already but not yet type of thing? Is the Tower of Babel being rebuilt today? And if so, where does that play out? Where do we see that? We're going to talk about all of that and more on today's Peck Report. All right, everybody. I am your host, Josh Peck. This is Peck Report. I hope you're having a great day today. I'm glad to be spending some time with you again, as we do every day, at least the days that I'm able to do these. So hope you're all doing well. The Tower of Babel has always been a fascinating story to me, and I know it is to many of you out there, too. I mean, it explains how we got our different languages, our different religions, how God set the world in place the way that it is today, the way we see it today. And it adds a lot of context for the problems that we find today, especially geopolitically, with varying warring religions and things like that. So that leads us to wonder, is it possible that that was more of a prophecy rather than just an interesting point in biblical history? Was there a prophecy there? You know, there's a lot of times where we see ancient accounts and we see them playing out again and again and again throughout history, you know? History repeats itself. Time is linear, but events are cyclical. So is it possible that the Tower of Babel is one of those? You know, I mean, people have looked at Genesis 6 about the Nephilim, and there have been various opinions that that might be a prophecy. There might be a return of the Nephilim in future times, and maybe that's the case. What if the Tower of Babel is like that? What if the Tower of Babel was an example, a historical example of an even greater threat that would occur in the future? And if that's the case, are we there now? That's what we're going to be talking about. Very interesting things to look at. There's a lot of different interpretations here. Before we get to that, though, I've got to tell you about Ultimate Bundles Healthy Meal Planning. This stuff is fantastic. If you find it hard to lose weight or find it hard to stay healthy with your food, it is very difficult. I mean, who knows what you can eat anymore, right? Well, they take all the guesswork out for you. They take it all out for you. They make it plain and simple and easy. Also, you don't have to spend as much time in the kitchen anymore, which is great. There's over 1,000 whole food recipes. You have 38 done for you meal plans to choose from. There's nutritional info for every recipe. It's all indexed by dietary needs and health goals. It integrates with a Real Plan app. So it actually integrates with an app. It's fantastic. And you get to spend less time in the kitchen. You probably know that if you try to make healthy food, a lot of times it seems to take longer. Not with this, not with Ultimate Bundles Healthy Meal Planning. So you don't have to spend as much time. All the effort is done for you. It is fantastic. It also comes with 5 e-courses, 5 e-books, just lots of information, but it's all broken down very simply. The second you get this bundle, you can start with this that night. You can start with it, even if you just order it right before dinner, you can start with it immediately. It's absolutely fantastic. So you can get the Healthy Meal Planning Bundle for only $49.97. If you add 10 bucks more, you can add in their desserts and drinks bundle as well, but you can click on the link in the description below for this amazing offer, or just go to dailyrenegade.com. Look at the side panel. You'll see the banner there. Click on that. Take advantage of this. Don't sell your health short. Being healthy is incredibly important because the world needs you, and it's a lot better place with you in it. Okay, so let's talk about the Tower of Babel again. I've always been interested in this story. We read about the Tower of Babel in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, specifically Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And we as Christians typically believe that this was real, you know, that this was an actual literal place. This was a real event that happened. And it helps explain what the deal is with all the different religions, all the different languages, all the separation and everything. But also why we as human beings have so much in common as well. Now, today, there's an interpretation, and again, there's many ways to look at this. So for this video, we're gonna take a single interpretation. Other videos, we'll look at other possibilities. But there's one interpretation I want to look at that says that today the Tower of Babel is the European Union and other globalist organizations. Very well could be. Now, of course, there's other ways to look at it because, you know, there's prophecies in Daniel and stuff, and you can kind of piece things together. This is one interpretation of a few different ones on how to interpret those prophecies. But again, we have to look at all of these possibilities if they line up with scripture, because we're on the back end of prophecy. We don't yet know how all of this is going to play out. So it's a good idea to learn as much as we can about them, to keep all possibilities in mind. And then the further time goes on, the more prophecy starts to get fulfilled, the more we can weed out the chaff and stick with the ones that still that are still maintaining as possibilities, the further time goes on. So this interpretation says that the European Union and other globalist organizations, that is the modern Tower of Babel. In fact, that the Tower of Babel incident could be looked at as a prophecy, an example, an ancient historical example of what would be to come, what we're seeing today. So globalists in the European project have been building their tower for decades, and their punishment of Europe has been biblical in scale, no pun intended. Now, this was even reported on the Gateway Pundit. Who is the author? Let me check real quick. Ted Malloch wrote a piece about this, which he brings up some really interesting points. So Babel is part of the biblical literature. It's recorded again in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now, this structure stretching far into the skies, it was built in the land of Shinar in Babylon. It was constructed some years after the deluge, or what's commonly called Noah's flood. To prevent the wrath of God, Europeans must keep the faith in the system the Lord gave them, apparently. Now, historically, Babel has been explained as an attempt to comprehend the existence of so many diverse languages. It's sort of been explained as an allegorical myth. And by the way, the historical part, when I said to prevent the wrath of God, Europeans must keep the faith in the system the Lord gave to them, that's what Europeans who kind of go along with this, that's what they believe. That's kind of the idea behind there. So again, even if we disagree, it's important to know what other people think about things so we can sharpen our own arguments against it, so on and so forth. We've talked a lot about that here on Peck Report. But in truth, the Tower of Babel, it represents the sinful pride of mankind and an act of ultimate hubris, you know, wanting to reach the heavens where mankind could become gods themselves. And it's a callback to that ancient lie from the garden. Now, this warning has been ignored by the Eurocrats in Brussels and Strasbourg. They speak of building a European empire with your sons and daughters drafted into the European army going off to die for Angela Merkel. Now, in this sense, the tower broke God's covenant and his commandments unifying people in sin. Similarly, Brussels Babel is rapidly becoming the gate through which hell itself spills into the continent. So it was on account of this sin, the same as that in the original Garden of Eden, that God divided humans and made them speak foreign tongues, whereby they could not understand each other. Now, the law of Europe, whimsical, unenforceable, and ill-advised, it's no substitute for the Holy Writ. So the Flemish master Peter Bruegel's influential portrayal of that scene is based on the Colosseum in Rome, while later conical depictions of the tower, as depicted in Doré's illustration, resemble much later Muslim towers observed by 19th century explorers, notably the Minaret of Samara. Now, towering over the nations of Europe, there is no culture Brussels promotes. It favors a universalist anti-culture, more of a sinful attempt to standardize every nation. The composer Anton Rubinstein wrote a powerful opera based on that very same story, Der Thurm zu Babel. Now, conservative political philosopher Michael Oakeshott surveyed at great length historic variations of the Tower of Babel story in different cultures and produced a modern retelling of his own in his important 1983 book on history. Now, in his retelling, Oakeshott expressed disdain for human willingness to sacrifice individuality, culture, and quality of life for what he called grand collective projects. Probably sounds kind of familiar for today, doesn't it? He attributed this behavior to fascination with novelty, persistent dissatisfaction, greed, and lack of self-reflection and or self-governance. Again, we see that a lot in our own culture. The government itself will take care of everything. We don't have to govern ourselves. We're not even able to govern ourselves. You don't have to worry about self-reflection. You're perfect how you are. You're great how you are, and everybody around you should be expected to accept that fact. That's what our culture is telling us today, and it's absolutely wrong. I mean, this is the ideology of the Tower of Babel. Now, Oakeshott was, of course, correct in his assessment, and his critique on this, as so much else, was prescient and entirely correct. But today, the new Tower of Babel is the EU and related globalism. So we have to talk more about that for sure. Before we do, there's a couple of things I want to get to. Now, if you have not heard of GuitarAuthority.us, then I must not be doing my job. Now, GuitarAuthority.us makes the absolute world's finest acoustic guitar strings. They're fantastic. For those of you who know me at all, then you've known I've been playing guitar for about half my life. I started off on an electric. Now that I'm kind of getting a little older, I appreciate the complexity of acoustic more now, and the specific types of skills that it takes to master it. I absolutely love it. And when you're playing, when you're trying to master a skill, or even if you're just dinking around and having fun, you want to actually be able to hear what you're playing. Guitar Authority strings are so crisp, so clear. They're absolutely beautiful. You are going to be amazed when you put these strings on your guitar. Just go to guitarauthority.us and you will get a special Peck discount on these, the world's finest acoustic guitar strings. You don't even need a promo code, because a Guitar Authority loves you guys so much that they are giving this discount across the board to everybody who goes there, who goes to their website. You'll actually see it right on their website. They're big supporters of this show. This show is big supporters of them. It's a family-owned business. It's a great business, great family. So you'll want to make sure you check it out. Even if you don't play guitar, I'm sure you know somebody who does. Everybody knows some show-off who thinks that he knows how to play guitar. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to buy that cool person's approval, here's what you do. You buy him a 3-pack of strings, he'll love you for the rest of his life. All right, so make sure you head on over to guitarauthority.us. You will not be disappointed. You will not regret it. Okay, now, before we get to the rest of this Tower of Babel stuff, yesterday, just to catch you guys up, yesterday I tried something a little different. Now, it's obvious that YouTube and Facebook and all these guys, they have a definite bias against conservative Christians. They clearly do. Now, when it comes to weird things like Nephilim and Bible prophecy, I can sort of get away with it. I mean, believe me, my views are still being hampered way down. It says that I have 68,000 subscribers, yet I'm lucky if I get 1 or 2,000 views on a video. Something doesn't add up. But I'll usually get at least 1 or 2,000 views after a day or two. Well, I decided to try something a little different. There's a new show that we're putting on Daily Renegade, which is why you want to become a member for all these new shows coming up. But it's called Mansplaining Millennial. This is a show idea that I had for a while, for about a year now, and I've been wanting to do this. It's basically just really short, kind of topic-based things on conservative politics. You know, just something really quick, easy, entertaining to watch, but something that just takes one point, deals with it, and moves on. So I created the first episode. I did that yesterday. I thought it came out fantastic, of course. And I put it up, and it only got a couple hundred views. And I think I know why. Because in the tags, when you put up a YouTube video, you have to tell YouTube how to classify something. You know, you need tags. Tags are like what people search for. When they go on YouTube and they search for a video, if their search words, if those search words match your tags, then YouTube should show that person your video. And that works great unless you're a conservative or a Christian, because there are certain tags that you just can't get around because YouTube doesn't disclose which tags are flagged and which aren't. But there are certain tags which will flag YouTube's algorithm and will shadow ban a video. Now, if I had, in a perfect world, if I had 68,000 subscribers and I put up a video and 68,000 people got a notification, you should expect, maybe not 68,000 people would actually click on it, but you should expect, I don't know, 10% maybe. I mean, at least, you know, maybe half. But with 68,000 subscribers, and when I'm used to getting, you know, 1,000 views maybe, when I only get a couple hundred, I know something's up. So I did an experiment. I posted it on Facebook as well. I posted it on the brand new Daily Renegade Facebook page, which only has, right, it's brand new, so it only has about 1,000 people following it. I myself, because Facebook has a limit, I only have 5,000 people following me, you know, friends on Facebook. You have a 5,000 friend limit, and that's it. So I've reached that limit like a year ago or something, or a couple years ago. So altogether, I have maybe 6,000. And certainly I'm not able to reach all of those people all at once, right? So I posted this video up on Facebook, and I got more views on Facebook than I did on YouTube. Not many more, but I did get more views on Facebook, having supposedly only access to 6,000 people, as opposed to YouTube having access to 68,000 people. So either way, it's censorship across the board. It's a big problem, but I want to at least make you guys aware of this this new show. I'm actually going to put the video in this video, since you probably won't be able to see it any other way. And I'm going to show you what, you know, mansplaining millennials is all about. So check this out.
Silence!
Michael Stone put up this article on Pathos.com about Bible Belt racism. You know, this is what they always do. They find one extreme example of something, and then they paint the whole group in that broad brush. So let's take a look at this. It says, a Georgia city councilman defends his mayor's decision to discriminate against a black man by citing his sincerely held Christian beliefs and his opposition to interracial marriage. You know, this is what they do. They'll put out these headlines, they'll put out these types of stories, because they know we as Christians and conservatives, we're going to be all too quick to denounce this guy, to say, oh, that's not what Christianity says, that's not what it teaches, which is true. But while we're saying that, we're not calling out on this lazy journalism, this infactual journalism. Is infactual a word? Unfactual? This article actually goes on to say that Christians really believe this. So the main story here, it says, recently Mayor Kennerly pulled the resume of Keith Henry from a packet of four finalists because he's black and the city isn't ready for this. So obviously that's what everybody's focusing on. Everybody is coming out and saying that this is wrong, this is terrible, which is true. But again, is this an isolated incident, or is this something that happens all the time? So I got to ask you something. Listen to this line and tell me if this sounds factual to you, if this sounds right. Cleveland's position is deplorable, but not surprising. Many conservative Christians are racist. One only need look at the overwhelming support Trump currently enjoys from conservative Christians to understand the deep racism that continues to flourish in white conservative Christian communities. Does that really sound right to you? Now, let me ask you this. If white Christian conservatism is so racist, then why are so many white Christian conservatives coming out against the premise of this article, that racism is bad, that this shouldn't have happened, that this individual should not be discriminated against because of the color of his skin? We all know that to be true. Also, why is this story so shocking? If this was so common,
If you saw this all the time, then this story would be nothing new. It would be very common. People would have a problem with it, but it would be no surprise. Yet this is so shocking, causing many to comment on it because it's so rare. That's the point. It's so rare. But this is what the left does. They will take one outlier and paint the entire group in that broad brush. Happens all the time. That is their tactic. So let's not let them do that. You know, I posted this on Facebook. I was doing a little social experiment, and I posted it on Facebook, and I'm going to read you what I wrote, because I wanted to see if people were actually going to respond to the claims in the article, or if they were going to respond to the tactics of the left, of the lazy, lying journalism of the left. At the very end of the article, he writes, "Can you feel the Christian love?" So this is what I wrote. I said, "Why is this story shocking? Because it is so rare. If it was common, this would not be shocking. Yet this tactic is a common theme in lazy and dishonest reporting. Find one extreme example and paint the rest of a particular group with that brush. Ironically enough, this was the tactic racists adopted in America's past to disparage people who looked different. Despite what the writer states, this belief is obviously not common within Christianity nor conservatism. That is why pretty much every Christian and conservative disagrees with the discrimination of the individual described in this article. It's not even worth us Christian conservatives refuting this because there's nothing to refute. This is not a Christian nor a conservative position. It is the opinion of one very mistaken man being disguised as the bedrock of a particular faith and political movement. It is a lie bolstered up to continue a false narrative that has run rampant in the mainstream media today. To rephrase the writer's final question, can you feel the leftist bias? Because this is what they do. We fall for it time and time again. To prove this point, here's some of the comments that I got. People that commented, they're trying to defend Christianity by saying this isn't a Christian position. Now, while that's true, it misses the point. It is true. That is not a Christian position. Anybody who actually looks into Christianity or conservatism knows that racism is not a position commonly held. It's commonly fought against. We don't like racism. Nobody does. Yet, we fall into this trap again, that we think that if we can just use logic and reason with the left, that they'll understand. If we can just explain to them that, no, we don't believe in racism. We're with you. We believe this guy's wrong. We don't believe that he should have discriminated the black person because of the color of his skin. We keep thinking that if we just keep using logic and reason with these guys, that they'll eventually come around and say, oh, my mistake, I'm sorry, you were right. Never gonna happen, because that's not the point. The point is to throw Christians and conservatives under the bus and to show that we're all bigots and racists, because then the leftists can have the power. That's what they're doing. They're not trying to reason. They don't actually believe this. They don't actually believe that Christians and conservatives are all racist and bigots. If they do believe it, they've never met any of us, and I just don't think that that's possible in today's age. They'll say it, but it's only to grab power. That is what it's all about. So some of these comments that I received missed the point entirely, because what happened is people read the headline. They didn't read what I said, they didn't read the article, and they reacted to the headline. Happens all the time. We got to stop doing that, because then we just fall right into the hands of the mainstream media. But, you know, somebody's saying, I made a choice a long time ago not to be like that, meaning racist. Like, I made a choice a long time ago to not be racist. He will answer to a higher power for that comment. He's going to have to answer to God because he's a racist. This person doesn't represent Christ. How does somebody arrive at that flavor of stupidity? Wow, I don't understand that. Moses had an interracial marriage. And it goes on and on and on. People saying that the racist guy is wrong. Well, duh. Obviously, the racist guy is wrong. That's not the point. The point is, we're falling right into the trap of the mainstream media, of the leftist narrative. We're wasting our time defending ourselves against this obviously erroneous view that all Christians and all conservatives are racist. What we should be doing is saying, that's dumb. Nobody thinks that. The left is doing this. The left is, again, lying, trying to stir up division. That's the bigger picture, and that's what we should be focused on.
Okay, so that was the very first installment of Mansplaining Millennial, and it's pretty obvious why it was shadow banned. I mean, there's nothing wrong in it. It's all completely factual. It's perfectly fine. There's nothing offensive. But of course, there's certain words that you can say that'll trigger the algorithm. There's just a lot of stuff, and YouTube doesn't disclose all this stuff to us, so we don't know what to avoid. So we've reached a point where we can either just say, well, YouTube's going to do what they're going to do. I want to speak the truth, and I'm just going to do that and not worry about censorship. in which case you'll get censored, like I do. And by the way, I do take that stance. Or you can say, well, I will just not say anything controversial at all. That's a mistake. If you don't say anything controversial at all, then nobody's learning anything. Nobody's challenged by anything. You're not able to really teach the truth to anybody because the truth by nature is controversial. And I am just not going to do that. So that is why we started. Daily Renegade. Daily Renegade is an amazing platform that that is just getting off the ground now. You can be a part of it. Get on the ground floor. May as well do it now. We are building a whole new website. Everything is going to improve. But right now, you can become a member of Daily Renegade and have access to full ad-free and exclusive videos that you can't find anywhere else. Probably what's going to have to happen with Mansplaining Millennial and a lot of these shows, maybe even Peck Report, is there's probably going to come a day where either this YouTube channel will be deleted totally, or I'm going to have to pull all the videos and just have it on Daily Renegade for members only. It's headed there now. It's getting really bad. So become a member today. You'll get full episodes of Peck Report. You'll get Apollineering, The Christian Contrarian, Through the Black, Bio Warrior, Z Files, Mansplaining Millennial, Get Real with Cody Peck, which that's coming up soon, an untitled Ryan Peterson show, author of Judgment of the Nephilim. He's going to be providing content and some other really cool stuff that's coming up. We're also going to be doing online conferences, and we're going to do lots of great stuff for you guys. You can also have access to the members only message board where hosts and viewers can fellowship together. So, a membership. How do you get a membership to all this amazing content? You can get a membership to Daily Renegade today by clicking on the link in the description below or just going to dailyrenegade.com and clicking on the members tab. It's only $10 a month or it's $100 a year. And that's actually the better deal because then you get 2 months for free. You just pay one time. You don't even have to think about it for a whole other year. But either way, it works out to be less than a cup of coffee a day. It breaks down to you having access to about 3 or 4 videos, sometimes more, for every dollar of your membership. So to be a member today, just click on the link in the description below or head on over to dailyrenegade.com. We'd love to have you aboard and welcome you to the family. And this ultimately is the way that we're going to have to go so we can make sure that we're never censored. This is what allows us, what allows me really to control all the content. And I don't censor people. You know, I let people say what the truth is and teach you guys. And this is also how we can fellowship with one another, stay in touch with one another, because YouTube and Facebook is making that increasingly more difficult. This is the solution. DailyRenegade.com. Make sure you become a member. Okay, speaking of members-only content, we are going to conclude it for YouTube and possibly Facebook if this is on Facebook. But for members-only, we're going to continue with this idea of Babel and how today the new Tower of Babel is the EU and related globalism. So everybody on YouTube and Facebook, thank you so much. Please go and become a member. Also, everybody, don't forget to subscribe to this channel and click on the bell. YouTube has been messing with our subscriber count as well. We're actually losing subscribers now. It was on a steady uprise, and then all of a sudden, it plunged. So there's some shenanigans going on. And so make sure you're still subscribed if you've subscribed already. We've heard from many people that they have subscribed, but their subscription was canceled without their knowledge of it. Make sure, even if you did already subscribe, go and check and make sure that you're still subscribed. Make sure you click the bell for notifications to always be notified. Make sure that bell stays clicked because YouTube will unclick it for you. They've been doing that too. It's just a mess. So all the more reason to become a member at dailyrenegade.com. All right, everybody on YouTube, thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless. Okay, members, now, thank you for your membership. Thank you for your support. We are building something amazing here. I cannot wait to roll out the brand new website. You are going to love it. It's basically going to be sort of like its own social media platform just for you guys. That's what we're building, and it's going to be fantastic. So I'm excited about that. Please keep us in prayer. Now, let's continue on with the Tower of Babel, that it's the EU and related globalism. This is a common interpretation. Now, this is the prevailing ideology of global elites and the institutions and machinery that they deploy to make themselves gods. Now, setting aside all tradition, all past custom, you know, often rewriting history, most notably eradicating the nation state, these globalists and their crony capitalists and socialists, that fund them and all their doings, they seek one thing. They seek the power to control. Bigniew Brzezinski, former national security advisor to President Carter, put in his own book, Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era, quote, the technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite unrestrained by traditional values. Soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen, end quote. Now, reread that and you have the doctrine of globalism in a few short sentences, and we're seeing this today. Now, in the words of globalist-in-chief Jean-Claude Juncker, who is president of the EU, quote, in these, May 2019, elections, those who promote foolish nationalism will pay the price for it, end quote. Now, again, this is the European Commission president who threatened this. Now, hating the common man and woman while elevating their own self-righteousness and power, the global elite at places from Davos to Bilderberg and from the UN to the EU, and especially in the mainstream media and the deep state, they want to end life as we know it in the little platoons, as Burke called them. Now, as we looked at before, they abhor freedom, family, and especially faith. They want one huge psychobabble and one world government controlled by them. The conservative worldview is founded on the dignity of persons and their flourishing in freedom, while globalism is a worldview of domination. This new order would be neither democratic nor representative. It would be what Akasha himself termed as an enterprise association, a unitary leviathan. It bears mentioning that leviathan, you know, this mythical sea monster whose defeat precedes civilization, is syncretic with Ouroboros, the snake that ate its own tail, fits the Eurocrats perfectly. Now, like the Tower of Babel, today's acts of global arrogance run contrary to the very nature of man. That's why this is so dangerous. Defeating it will allow the flourishing of a new Europe of sovereign nations. Now, it sounds lofty, even perhaps sometimes ideal, to bring people together and facilitate some far-reaching new do-good international order, because it always does, but it's just the same sin over and over and over again. Nimrod's tower fell, as did Alexander's and Cyrus's and Attila's and Napoleon's, Hitler's, Stalin's, Mao's. They all fall. The EU is next. And why? Because such global geopolitical projects, even when buttressed with so-called noble reasons, are utter and sheer vanities. That's all they are. They are not noble at all. So too, globalism itself must and will fall. Once nationalists overrun Brussels, we can begin freeing the rest of the world. So the May 2019 European elections are the next place to watch for the death of globalism. And we can pray for that. But we also know, when we look at Bible prophecy, there is a globalist agenda coming. It doesn't have to be the one that we find ourselves in right now, but it very well could be. There's a globalist agenda that's coming. It will take over the world, and it too will fall by the hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we can pray for that day. All right, everybody. As always, I would love to know what you think about this. Do you think that the European Union is the appropriate interpretation of Bible prophecy having to do with the modern day Tower of Babel, of the globalist situation that we see in Bible prophecy? Do you think it's the EU that's going to facilitate that, or is it something else? Maybe it's an Islamic coalition of different countries and things that will take rise. I'm always interested to know what you think. Also, if you have suggestions for this website, for Daily Renegade in general, for these shows, if you have suggestions, go ahead and leave them in the message board, leave me a comment, or you can email me directly at joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. All right, everybody, thank you so much for your membership. Thank you for being part of the family. Love you all, and until next time, take care. God bless.